with Mo. My name's Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLandRadio.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who loves getting to know people, Mr. Richard Avery.
Good afternoon, sir. I like to get to know you, Mo.
We know each other.
I barely know you, Mo. After 150 some odd episodes, I barely know you.
I think I told you my Simon Doonan story again today. Yes. And you'd already heard that before.
But so. I want to know the real you, Mo.
The real me?
The deep inside you, Mo.
You know, I think the only person that really knows like everything about me is my therapist.
Exactly.
Who I've been with for 15 years.
And that's why they see a therapist regularly as well.
Yes. No, okay. Exactly.
So, oh my God. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Who are you going to get to know today?
Today, we're going to get to know a guest, someone who we're really getting to know somebody today. Somebody I've never met before.
And she's just a friend briefly. Of mine. She's a friend of mine.
She's a friend of yours. And we conned her into coming out.
Exactly.
We bribed her with water and coffee drinks.
Exactly.
Today we have in studio Pony. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Ooh, she's very serious, Mo. We're not going to get her to laugh at all.
I just laughed. Okay. I just literally just laughed just now.
Well, let's start off. Have you ever done a podcast before?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, for who?
For Emily Morse, Sex with Emily.
Okay, so this isn't your, we're not losing your cherry today.
Damn it, no. I was hoping it was the first.
Yeah. No.
So let's get to know Pony.
So Pony, tell me about yourself.
I identify as female.
Mo, what do you identify as?
Male. Yeah. Unless I tuck it.
I live here in the Los Angeleses.
Okay.
The LAs.
SoCal,
like
baby.
To call the LAs.
You're SoCal. It's
in
SoCal.
LA.
You gotta say SoCal, baby. It's all about SoCal.
She's I'm from NorCal.
NoCal. It's NoCal, SoCal, LoCal.
Oh.
And then Tijuana.
then MoCal.
MoCal. So you live here in LA?
I do. I just moved here. I am 2 months. We're starting the third month of living here.
Third month of living here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what part of town do you live in?
In Baldwin Hills.
So, what freeways did you have to take to get here?
Zero. Ooh. I'm very close to here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Straight up La Brea, baby.
Yeah, up La Brea.
She's in a good area. She's in an area that's up and coming, too.
I'm really literally in the middle of everything. It takes me 15, 20 minutes to get anywhere.
I feel like I live in the middle of everything, but I kind of don't.
You live in the valley. It
I
sucks.
Live in Studio City. Calm down.
Oh, well, that, nice. I was looking at that place. That's really nice.
It's really
there.
Nice.
I was looking at that when I was going
to
move here.
I'm right off the 101, right near mm-hmm. the 405. Mm-hmm. I can get to Hollywood. I can get everywhere. That's yeah. what it comes down to with living in LA is what freeway, what area you live in.
The 10.
Where you need to go. The 10 to the 405 to the 101 to the 134 to the
what
2.
What are you doing here?
Exactly.
So why did you decide to move to LA?
I was living in San Francisco. I was there for 12 years. Wow. 12 years. Only
long, grueling years.
Yeah. Only 9 of them were amazing. And then I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like the social climate's changing as an artist. I'm a cinematographer. The professional climate is changing everything. And it's fine. Like things change, whatever. So
do you also think
have to
that
get the fuck out or change with it?
Yeah, but I grew up in the Bay Area and I mean, I don't go there that often anymore. But the thing I noticed the last time I was there, like it just, how do I say this? It just seems like the whole area of like, especially downtown San Francisco, like it's just gotten hipster, yuppier, kind of like moneyer, like gentrification, that whole thing that's going everywhere in every city right now. Just seems like that's like a big part. Silicon Valley is kind of like finally getting into that area.
I hate the word hipster.
I do too.
Really do, because I've heard hipsters talk shit about hipsters, and I'm looking at them like, you're a fucking hipster. What the fuck are you talking yeah. about? It's That's just like such an overused
hipster.
Word.
Yeah, I'm a hipster.
I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But
well, then what would you call them?
Idiots.
Okay.
I ironically shop at Target. I get all my clothing at Target. Does that make me a hipster?
No.
No.
Well, I think, you know, it's
she's right, though.
There's too much money there right now, and like frivolous money, not like yeah. I'm doing something worthwhile and making money. It's more like I'm a monkey and yeah. I make money.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like bidding each other out of apartments and fucking each other over. And it's just a very like, and like I said, the social climate's changing a lot of it. And I'm I really, you know, I know some very wonderful social tech people, but it does seem that the mentality of that industry is very withdrawn and introverted. And so you go out to bars and everyone looks at you like you're a freak. And like, it's just weird. It's weird. And so I really just felt like I don't belong here anymore. Yeah. I need to leave.
Do you feel like, that's when I left 36 years ago, but like I was telling you, just kind of, not that you don't belong, but you just kind of go like, I don't fit in. Like I don't fit. Like, I got to go somewhere where I fit. Like, I still, after all these years in LA, I still don't fit in here. I fit in more in other cities. Like, I feel like I fit in more in New York.
In New York.
Or Seattle.
Would you be able to take the freezing cold?
Not at all. I've been there for the freezing cold and I don't like it.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, either New York or Los Angeles. And I was like, okay, well, I can't stand the freezing cold weather. I mean, I can, but on vacation. That's it.
What about you, Mo? You don't like cold, but you grew up.
No, I grew up in Oregon, and so I'm used to the cold. I like the rain more than I like the snow. I'm fine with the cold as long as I'm not working out in it. That was tough when I was in school in Seattle, and we'd have our big old 4x5 cases, and it'd be pouring down rain, and walking down the streets of Seattle trying to go do a shoot. Yeah. It was just impossible. You had issues with the people of San Francisco and how much has changed, but then you decided to come to the fakest city in the country.
So far, I've been meeting some pretty genuine people.
But
where?
But you've met also some not so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you know what? That's the way in every, I really don't, I think it's every city.
I agree.
You know, I really
There's
do.
The good and bad and ugly everywhere.
It's in it. Yeah. You can't, it's unavoidable. You're going to.
What do you like about LA? So right now, what do you like about LA? What's the first thing that you really like about LA so far?
The weather. Okay. I love it. I don't have to wear 5 layers like I had to in San Francisco. So that was good.
No, I go back to, though, is the fakeness of LA is everybody's here to become famous. That's the whole thing. You're here to go into cinematography. This is Hollywood. This is, you know, everybody wants to do something that has to do with entertainment. Everybody comes here to succeed. Until they fail and they go back home. Right. And everybody is your friend and your buddy until they find out that there's nothing that they can get from you anymore. Mm-hmm. That's how LA works.
But that's how people were in San Francisco too.
Yeah, but see, I think you're right. I mean,
thank you.
I'm positive. You sound very positive, by the way. That was very positive of you to say. But I just think that being here as long as I have is that, you know, I'm positive. Life sucks. We know that. but I do think you're right. But being here in the entertainment industry as long as I have, I think that there is a big, big part of it that is all about everybody comes here to pursue their dreams. You know what I mean? And everybody comes here. And I think it's okay. And people, you will fail. I guarantee that in different degrees. You just have to keep fighting through it.
No, you've survived here longer than 36
years.
Yeah. I've lived here 18 years now. And so, you know, I think, I don't know if I'm a success or a failure. I came here to become a photographer. I ended up doing other stuff. I mean, photography's always been around me.
I've seen your new website. You've done other stuff.
I have done other stuff. So you came down here to do cinematography because this is Hollywood. Why wouldn't you have? I know the weather thing. Why not Vancouver?
Oh, I checked out Vancouver.
Because Vancouver is...
Yeah, I did.
Awesome.
Specifically.
Every superhero show now is being filmed in Vancouver.
Right. Well, I have some friends. They're twin directors, the Saska sisters that live over there in Vancouver. They're from, born and raised. And so I got to know them and I went to see them to check it out because I was like, I got to move. I got to go somewhere. Yeah. Where am I going to go? And they're like, Vancouver is great, but honey, everything starts in LA. Like, seriously,
they said that?
Yeah. That's they were like, weird. They'll start in LA, they'll hire all their people, and then they'll come to Vancouver to shoot. So they were like, yeah, I mean, Vancouver's wonderful. Of course, we love it because we're born here, but honestly, like, there's more work in LA. There's going to be more stuff.
See, I always felt it was the other way around. A lot of Canadian actors I know and stuff like that started in Canada.
And I don't know how to get a job in Vancouver, like, legally. You know
that's a tough one. They make it difficult. They make it difficult for...
Because they're very nice
Canadians
people.
Are amazing. I love Canadians.
I hate them. I hate Canadians. I hate Canada. There's nothing good about that place at all.
So you're here in LA.
There's so much water there. The fountains work. They're like, ooh, ooh, a fountain. There's water coming out of the fountain. Here, you're just like, oh, a fountain. It's like dry, and there's like dead.
I got a fountain right there that works.
Yeah, true.
Just wasting water. Just wasting water. Way to kill the planet.
I know.
Meanwhile, the sewers of my neighborhood are overflowing. So that's.
It's kind of a shitty situation over there.
Literally.
So, how do you find a job as a cinematographer?
Well, a very good friend told me it's who you know and it's who you blow. No, I'm just kidding.
That's LA completely.
And you don't know who, the old saying is, you don't know who I fucked to get to where I am today. All the wrong ones. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know, dude. I'm like, it's new and I'm just trying to network like crazy, and I just keep networking, working and for awesome.
Where do you
people.
Network at? Are you going to the local, you know, the local watering hole? I mean, where do you network at?
The bar that all the cinematographers hang out at.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's called See Me. Like, I don't know.
Are you going to the, you know, the places outside the studios? Where are you going to network with places?
She just hangs out in front of Paramount on Melrose there and says, hey,
go to the Formosa and hang out, have drinks.
Well, you know, there is a, what is it? Sony Pictures, I think there's a bar close to there that everyone from Sony goes over and hangs out after work.
Well, honestly,
I haven't been going there.
But there's a bar by every studio that like
right,
you could go.
Right. There's always a company.
You know, Paramount's
bar
down here on Melrose, and there's bars and restaurants there that you see people at all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the way to get work.
No, because that's
handing
the
way out
to
your,
hit on.
Your
that's
DVD
the way to maybe
reel.
Sleep your way to the top, yeah. I suppose, if that's what you're looking to do. But no, that's not. So far I have been meeting some really amazing artists and people, and they're just like, let's hang out. Let's go to parties. Mm-hmm. And obviously at this point, you know, with that theory of until they realize you can't, there's nothing you can give them. Literally, there is nothing I can give anyone, and I don't think it could be any more
friendship.
Obvious. Hey, that's all I have. So I'm like, all right, well, this person wants to be my friend. I have nothing. So to me, that's a pretty
so
good
So you get
trait.
To find exactly how why they like you. It's like, you know, it's why,
I mean, I guess,
one of the reasons I like to stay poor is that I know that everybody likes me. It's not for my money.
It's not for your money, right. So yeah, so I've met this really awesome person who's really big in the art world, mm-hmm. and so they're taking me to all these openings, and then through those openings I'm meeting artists and directors, you know, because everyone loves art, everyone's into it. So, and I do too. I genuinely am a huge, I've been met so many incredible artists within the past 2 months. I've like been to almost every museum here already because they're just
that's
like
awesome.
let's go. So, and then I'll follow through on things, you know, like I met an owner of an art studio or an art gallery who's like, oh, my brother's a director. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. She's like, you should call him. So I call him. I'm like, hey, you want to meet for lunch? We meet for lunch. He's like, let me see your reel. He's like, I love your reel. I'm like, thank you. And he's like, I'm gonna send it out. He doesn't send it out, but I follow up the week later and I'm like, hey, have you sent that out yet? He's like, oh damn it, I haven't. I'm going to do it today. And then I'm going to follow up with him in another week, you know?
Sure.
So that's my plan. And that's, you know, and that's what, but I'm doing that with like 6 different people right now.
But
I'm
that's
like,
what you have to do.
Following up with you, following up with you, you know, making them dinner. I like to make my friends dinner. To me, that's a genuine thing to give, you know, where like I have no money. I can't even really go out, but I can make you dinner and say thank you.
Yeah, she makes
a very not LA thing.
She makes a mean bowl of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh, damn it. I made Richard this amazing chicken vegetable soup, and that little bitch was like, where's the noodles?
Exactly.
No, I'm not gonna eat it. He like was he was like a child. He would not
I
eat
am a child.
Soup. He's like
Mr.
a little baby.
Avery.
I know. Just, but you know, it's I love him.
I like noodles.
For strange enough, I love him anyway, and I don't I'm still trying to figure out why, but you know what
I like noodles. So I just that's my grandmother used
kid
to make it.
Food.
That
I need
way.
To make you healthy kid food. I need to sneak broccoli into things.
Do you like chicken soup?
Yeah.
Would you put noodles in it?
You put noodles in
it. No, not when you're trying
you
to
put egg noodles in it.
Gordon Ramsay would, right?
Exactly.
I made him cupcakes. He yells at me. You're trying to kill me. Then I make him something, and he's like,
she
I hate
made
you.
Me
this
12 cupcakes. Not one. 12.
Well, I was like, give them away.
I ate four of them, and I almost died.
Give them to Mo.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't need anything. I got to lose a lot of weight. Okay, so what's it like now being a waitress? because you come to LA and everybody wants to be an actor. Everybody wants to do their dream job and then ends up doing something to pay the rent.
I am not throwing out the idea that I will be needing to do something on the side for money. However, working in the service industry will not be one of them. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, smart move.
Yeah. I've done that before, not because of this issue, but just, you know, because I was new to San Francisco and my boyfriend was in the restaurant industry and I'm just like, that's not for me. I'm like, get it your damn self. I do not want to get you anything. So
why like, I can just see like, you take the order. What'd you like? And they tell you the order and they're just, okay, you can go pick it up the counter when you're ready.
The kitchen's over there. Help yourself.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Why did you decide to get into film?
When I was in high school, I was part of a telecommunications cluster where it was like you had to take all the normal classes from that high school requires you to do. And then on the side, you take more classes. You take like video production and film theory and like electronics. And then they put cameras in your hands and you run around and you make movies. And so that was
where
was
this at?
In Napa. I'm from originally born and raised in Napa. And it was Napa High had this thing and it was new. It was only like 1 year old. And so I was like, okay, I want to do that instead because that school sucks. I fucking hate it. I've always never been a great student ever. Someone's going to hear this and hold it against me. I know, but whatever. But you know what? That woke me up. It like made me feel really good. And the teacher we had was really inspiring and was like really encouraging. And then ever since then I've been into it. So I guess I've been shooting since, you know, I was 16, 17.
Nice.
I guess.
So what's your favorite movie?
I don't have one.
You don't have one?
I mean, I have like 20.
Okay, favorite. What's a cluster of three? What sticks out in your mind for best cinematography that you think? What do you think's the best looking movie?
And if you sit there and say Varsity Blues, I will mad respect. Cinematography's amazing. Shooting football?
Revenant?
No.
The cinematography in that was stunning. That was well shot. Kind of a boring movie overall, but stunning.
So what are your...
Well, I'll tell you the latest movie I saw that I was like, whoa, is The Neon Demon. I love that one so much.
Don't know it.
As we look at each other going, what the fuck is
it? It was so good. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but Natasha Brar is like this incredible cinematographer and she shot that and she also shot The Rover and... And that was like, it kind of really blew me away because that's kind of, I love that. It was the lighting, the everything was very, a Suspiria. Have you heard of Suspiria? Mm-mm. Dario Argento. It's an Italian horror film. But it was very Suspiria. It was amazing. And so that really blew me away. That was really
such
neat.
The hipster.
That was really cool.
No.
See, that's hipster's a terrible word. It's like, it's
I was that's
word.
You're so hip. Like I was waiting for you to say like The Godfather. That's amazing. It's the best cinematography ever. In The Godfather.
I'm into
old.
Typical.
I'm old.
Stuff.
Yeah, did you say Singing in the Rain? Amazing cinematography.
Yeah.
It's these movies that were shown, you know, in three theaters, you know, in middle America that's, you know, six people saw and it made a total of $47 at the box office, but it's amazing.
I know it didn't make that much money.
So give us some other movies that you like visually. Is there a cinematographer that you like? That you admire of director's work?
Yeah,
okay.
So my favorite director, which
besides Richard,
people
Avery.
Will laugh or not. Yeah, besides Richard Avey, because he's so amazing. Is Eric Wareheim. He's unbelievable. Have you seen Tim and Eric's awesome show?
Nope.
I have a feeling the answer to every question of "Have you seen this?"
She's too
is
hip for
be,
us.
Nope. I'm telling her to go to Vancouver to go work on superhero shows for the CW.
I mean, I love superhero shows. I mean, I'm a total dork.
Arrow.
Yeah. No, that's I love him. He's an incredible director. He also does Master of None to some of their episodes and his music videos. I love music videos. That's my like super boner visual stuff. And I know there's no money in it. There's absolutely no money in it. But anyway, he's incredible. He's fucking unbelievable. Like deep saturated colors and just like a lot of whimsy. And I don't know. Damn, whimsy is a terrible word. But yeah, he's really great. Really great. Love it.
It's everybody are like things you're mentioning are just like so. I don't know if it's a generational thing, but like I'm thinking like I'm trying to go back. Like what about like if you talk about music videos back in the day in the 90s or whatever, is there music videos there that you even know or remember or stood out?
Oh, yeah. I'm older than I look.
I know that, but like a lot older. No, I'm just kidding. But Madonna, like, did you like a like, you know, Vogue?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what is it? She, you know,
Express Yourself was.
Well, it's also all the. Really David, I'm just good. Thinking of all the David Fincher ones. He's my hero. He's my favorite director.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching MTV.
Yeah, he can
the
do
Herb Ritz one.
That's probably why.
No.
Which one was the Herb Ritz one?
The one where they were like mermaid people out in the ocean. It was black and white.
Oh, Cherish.
Yeah. Herb Ritz, one of the finest photographers ever.
Yeah, right.
That was a weird video.
Yeah,
that was weird.
What's your favorite music video of back in the day?
Oh. Oh no, that's so hard.
Is it Madonna?
I mean, Madonna was a huge inspiration. I loved her so much, and I wanted to be Madonna when I was younger. Of course,
to do Madonna. Of course, she's amazing.
Oh my God!
But
yeah.
Hearing all these stories about her now are bumming me out. She just lost custody of her son.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Which one?
Her son from Guy Ritchie. She just lost custody
of Rocco.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, but my God, isn't he old enough?
We just
turned
into TMZ.
Dun, dun. I'm like, what? Maybe we can talk about this off the show, but I'm really interested in this.
Yeah.
Bring it back to music videos. Yeah, I grew up watching MTV. That was like so cool.
I know.
That's probably why I love music videos so much, because I'm a really visual person, which is why I do what I do. But when I see a video to a song, that is how I remember the song from forever.
Right.
And like, so now every time I listen to that song, I see that video. Like, I see what's going on, and like, you get to understand the music more. And I know it's really unfortunate that we don't have MTV anymore. Technically we do, but it's
called
bullshit.
YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. We have YouTube, which is great, but there's no money. Nobody can make any money on it.
I always say I have a certain type of music video I like. I love music videos, and there's a certain type that I like. And the ones I hate, my thing always is I hate ones that try too hard to tell a story.
Mm.
Like, to me, it just bothers me. Like,
too narrative, too literal.
Like, we're going to tell this whole story, and it's usually about a couple who breaks up and then gets back together and lives happily ever. I don't know. That stuff annoys the fuck out of me.
So the Meatloaf, Beauty and the Beast take off of I Do Anything for Love, but I Won't Do That. That wasn't your music video? I pulled that out of my ass.
One of my favorite music videos back in the day, and this is the 80s, basically, the late 80s here, was ABC's Lexicon of Love. I just thought that was one of the first ones that really grabbed me, just because it was so over the top and campy. But later on, I was always about, like, I liked a lot of Wayne Isham's work, and Fincher and Anton Fuqua, all those propaganda guys were doing the best shit, I thought, anyways. Fincher could do no wrong.
I think the one that sticks out in my head for some reason is Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. I don't know why that when I think about music videos, that one stuck out to me for some reason, and I have no idea why, but it's just one of those ones. Maybe I was just programmed every hour to see it you know, and it just came on all the time. But that one always, when I think of a music video, that sticks out to me, and like Sledgehammer. You know?
That was cool. Or Aha, Take on Me.
Those were unbelievable.
And those were like breaking the mold then. Mm-hmm. You know, those were huge deals.
like taking Peter Gabriel's thing, that was all done by, what's his name, Godley and Cream.
So cool.
And that was done like old style animation styles, as opposed to like now you can do that in a computer in an hour with an app.
Yeah, you know? That was like, yeah.
But that was really cool, yeah.
Any claymation, any genuine claymation shit, too.
Like,
was so
Tool
good.
Used to do a lot of
claymation videos. And Primus did a lot of bad fucking ass claymation shit, like genuine, move it, shoot it, move it, shoot it, move it. Like, oh my God, that takes forever to do.
A long time.
Yeah.
A long, long time.
Yeah.
Do you take pictures as well?
I do photography. It's not, I mean, I have, a bunch.
Okay.
Mainly glamour girls barely wearing anything.
That's
naughty.
It's the only way I can get laid.
What is your preference? Is cinematography?
Cinematography. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I love photography.
What kind of camera do you shoot on?
When I do photography?
Yeah.
Just 5Ds, 7Ds. Yeah. Nothing easy. Too, not like Richard's Hasselblad love he's Ooh. Got going on. He let me touch it once, though.
Yeah.
Those things are expensive.
He let me touch it. It's yep. like, what is it, $60,000?
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, now they're in the $35,000
Now
range.
I can't even get $5,000 for the whole thing. That's what's so sad.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I'll give you $150 right now, cash.
If you said $175, I would have said yes.
Oh, damn it. Did you ever shoot on film?
No. I mean, well, yes, technically, but not, you know, when before digital cameras, but those were point and shoots. It was
but, like,
not,
but you never
I
shot
never got artsy with
motion,
it.
Like you never shot 8mm, 16mm,
no.
35mm.
Oh, I missed oh. that.
Like an old Super 8.
I
you
really,
know.
No, I totally missed the boat. I feel, you know, and I think sometimes when Richard and I talk about things, like my sister took a photography class and you were talking about, you know, developing in the darkroom and things yesterday. And I like kick myself for not getting on that earlier and like experiencing that because I really, really wish I would have. I really wish
the
I
beauty
would've.
Is that
I was
that
just, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I'm like, I fucking hate school. I don't want to do this. I don't even want to be here. And then when I got
that
into that class, then I was like, oh, I like stuff again. But then that was when we were
You'll
digital.
Be able to go back. I mean, the beauty of it all is that someday when you're working and you can afford to, you're going to go, okay, I'm going to go experiment now and
that
go,
would be
go
really
get a 60 millimeter cool. Bolex and start shooting crazy shit and doing, yeah. do going down that path.
My sister's the one that did all the super photography class when, and then now she doesn't want anything to do with it. Yeah. Now we kind of flip flop. So yeah. I know I feel bad. I actually do genuinely feel bad though. It's sad.
You should feel lucky you didn't go to school for photography.
spend a lot of money.
I will never pay off those student loans ever.
Ever.
Ever. Yeah, I was supposed to be a photographer. That's where I'm supposed to be now.
Yeah. You are though.
Sadness.
You're a photographer in your own mind.
I have my Mark III. I have my Mark III. I could shoot more.
Do you have a film camera?
I do. Actually, you have no idea how badly. I was just cleaning up my office and I went through and dusted off the 4x5 and the 8x10. And I want to take that 8x10 out and shoot something with it. It's just that negative will be so cool.
Funny you say that. I was in my vault last week and found a box that had all my stack of 8x10 Polaroids.
Oh,
I hadn't seen this box in 20 years.
That was one of the greatest
And
things.
I was just like, oh my God, I was with our friend and I just said, hey, look at these. And he's like, oh my God, this is crazy. That's what I know.
Richard, there's a big empty space in my apartment. It's on a wall and it's begging for a decent thing to be there.
I know.
Everybody wants your work.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
When they can pay for it. They can have it. No, Mo, you give her one of your photos.
You know what's funny is I don't print any of my stuff. Everything is just in the digital realm. And I have space on my wall where I could
do... You have like more of like my work than you have of your own work.
Yeah, I have a total of 3 prints hanging on the wall that's mine. And your... Let's see. You've given me work of others. Yeah. And I have those hanging on my wall. And I have, I think, 2 pieces of yours on my wall. I have a living room wall that is just... big and white, and I can't just put 1 frame there. No. It is going to need to be a collection of images. And I don't know if I want to put up my stuff or what I want to do.
Can I ask a cinematography question?
Please. Yes.
Okay. When is there any, I wouldn't say technique or any, if you had to say some tips or some, your philosophy about shooting and lighting, what is it?
Well, I'm really partial to light. And we've talked about this before. Light is everything to me. I don't care what you're shooting on or how you're doing it or whatever. I mean, even, well, angles are important for sure. Everyone knows that. But light, if your light is shit, you have nothing. Like, I don't know. That's harsh, super harsh. But that's how I feel. Like, if I'm looking at something and the lighting is crap, I just don't want to watch it. Like, I can't do it. So, I love lighting. I love painting.
Painting with light. Is there certain types of lights that you prefer?
No.
You go.
It doesn't matter.
HMIs, Kino.
Doesn't matter.
You don't care.
No. It's all about how you use them.
I know. Do you go if I said to you, light this scene, do you kind of look at it yourself? Okay. You're going to work with what you have, or do you kind of go, if I said you can have anything, are you going to go like, okay, now get me this, this, and this, and this is how I'm going to paint this scene with this light.
Yeah. If I have the luxury of choosing. Yeah. I would have specifics in mind, but I mean, it depends on where I'm at. Like, you know, you and I were discussing a music video idea the other day and I was like, no, I just need work lights. I don't give a shit. Like, You know, it's about how you, it's like different paintbrushes, you know, you use different brushes for different strokes and different weights and everything. And so that's how I feel about it. I have no general preference. I just,
have you ever,
does it work? Does
who,
it,
who did you learn from? Did you have anybody that really taught you?
Yeah, a bunch of people. I just like, I learned from the ground up. I never went to film school. Thank goodness I don't have, I don't have shit to pay off. But I learned from the ground up. And so, you know, on that journey, I met like a bunch of different people and I just tried to soak up information like a sponge. And you know, it's not always like the most, professional lingo or whatever, but the idea and the rules behind lighting and the safety behind lighting, that all is very valid. And so that's how I learned. I learned from, you know, Chris Detman, Jesus Barrios, like nobody knows who these people are, but these are heroes to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And like Dave Naz, like I love the way he shoots too. He's a really cool photographer. And also Chris Cafaro is amazing. He's like my favorite photographer ever. And I don't know if you know his work, but you really ought to check it out. And these people are like huge, huge inspiration. And so I talk to them. I try to learn from them. I'm like, what do you do? What do you do? And they're, everyone's different. You know, that's the cool thing about light is like there's no wrong way to do it. Never. And it's awesome. So it gives you so much creative leverage and you can have, you develop your own style or you choose not to, and you do different styles. You learn all these different styles.
Do you shoot? You shoot video motion, but you don't think of yourself as a cinematographer.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, I shoot some video. That's basically it. It's, you know, it's quick, dirty, nothing. Nothing overly.
Use the lamp next to the bed for lighting.
Exactly. So, do you have? And I always find this to be an important person to have in your life. Do you have a mentor?
I do. I have a couple. Mm-hmm. One of them is Chris Cafaro. He's been very generous and amazing with me, and pushes me, yells at me all the time, and I can take it because I love him, and I know he loves me, and that's good.
Nice.
But that's been a real driving force for me, actually, since we met a couple years ago. Right?
Yeah.
And he was like, who are you? What are you doing? Touch my Hasselblad. I'm like, what? What's a Hasselblad? I don't know. I don't know you. You're weird. But then we kind of fell in love. And so I really look up to him a lot. And that's been, he's really driven me to do a lot of stuff that I wouldn't be like dragging my feet on, I think. So I'm really lucky for that. And
It's important to have mentors, I think.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to have one. I have Mr. Richard Avery as my mentor.
I yell at you all the time.
The problem I found with having a mentor is now, you know, when I do want to shoot, I go through and I look at the stuff that I want to shoot and I go, holy shit, this looks just like his stuff. Now I'm going to look like I'm copying him or, you know, trying. It's like, so it's one of those things of, no, this is something that I was into before. The reason why I was drawn to your photography is it's something that I want to shoot.
Yeah.
And now that I'm around him so much, I just feel like everybody's going to look at it and go, you're just copying him.
Well, the good thing is it will never look
the truth is you know who I copied it from.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, mean, you're not copying me, you're copying him.
Everyone copies from everyone, and the cool thing is that's why we're inspired by people and inspired by artists, and you mix and match and you do all the
What I always tell people to do is you just, you know, there hasn't been an original idea since the wheel, so give up on that whole fact.
Yeah.
But I think what I always tell people as artists, as photographers, I just think that, you know, you shoot what you shoot, but it takes a while to define a style to begin with. People don't realize that. It takes a long time because of a lot of experimenting. But you do take a basic idea and you can sit there and say, yeah, I'm shooting this. You could say, I'm shooting so-and-so girl and it's just like how Richard does it. But I always say, like, and it might be kind of like what I'm doing, but at the same time, it's you're doing it, not me. Mm-hmm. So you just have to add your little twist to it, you know what I mean? Or do your little thing to it, or do your little thing to her differently or whatever.
I just have to avoid any of the girls that you've shot,
which would be
very difficult.
Well, that's ending, so you'll be fine.
I'll go get somebody like Gracie Glam. I've shot her a number of times.
Well, I've shot her twice.
She's a crazy bitch, but I've shot her twice. I love her.
I've shot her twice.
I've shot her five times.
Okay. All right.
Oh, shit.
Pissing contests.
I've shot a girl more times than Mr. Avery.
Well, I guarantee by the end of the month, I might hit and pass.
If you go check out theaveragemo.com, you can see, actually, I think four different sets of Miss Glam are up on in the gallery section of theaveragemo.com. Look at that shameless plug.
I know. I know, exactly.
Well, Pony, I really appreciate you coming out, talking to me about your life and your dreams and aspirations and goals about cinematography and your current, what you're doing. Do you have anything out there? Are you a social media person? Do you have anything to plug?
I love Instagram.
She has a great website.
So much. I have an amazing website. It's great. ThePonyGold.com.
ThePonyGold.com.
The one and only.
Just ThePonyGold.
And what's your Instagram?
PonyGold.
PonyGold. And what do you put up there? Food?
Oh my God. I hate that. I hate food pictures.
And Cutter Mike.
Don't look at his Instagram.
Check out my Instagram, the average Mo.
Perfect. The look on your face.
Lots of food.
The look at your face was like, did you smell like a split second? Mo. She just hurt me.
It's just never the right lighting. It always looks creepy.
I think mine looks damn good.
I'll have to check it out.
I'll check it out. I think what you need to do is you need to shoot the plates when they're empty, like after you're done eating.
I actually was doing that in Vegas where I had half eaten the food. I forgot to take a picture.
Can I tell you a funny thing? Years ago, speaking of food pictures, I forget whose wedding it was. A friend's wedding got married, and at the table, they put those stupid little disposable cameras at each table. You know, everybody takes pictures.
And you took a picture of your dick.
No, I took pictures of all the empty plates of the meal, the entire meal. It was like, you know, five-course meal, and I just took pictures of, like, all the whole camera is filled with just all these pictures. And then, like, weeks later, my friend calls me up and says, hey, the pictures of the plate, that had to be your roll of film. I said, yep, that was me.
You know what's funny is somebody gave me a disposable camera. And thought I was going to go out and shoot it.
God, still have them?
It's a Polaroid one. It's just Polaroid brand film. And so I have it, and it's in a box. And I ended up not using it, and it's expired now. Now I could still go out and shoot it.
Right.
There's not going to be any issues. But I decided I'm going to keep it in the box because this at some point in time is going to be completely non-existent. And I have old cameras that are still in their boxes that are 50, 60, 70 years old. And you look at it then and go, holy shit. So now, in theory, if I am hitting midlife, you know, when I'm 80 years old, I'm going to have this product that is just doesn't exist anymore. The concept of it is completely gone.
Where do you get these at?
You can get...
this is an original.
It's not a Holga.
What is it?
It's a Diana.
Diana. You can get the crappy newer versions at Urban Outfitters.
I know, exactly. I hate those things.
Freestyle. They went hipster. Freestyle's a camera store here in Los Angeles.
That's the real deal, though. Oh,
so, any other social media? MySpace, Friendster?
Tinder.
Friends.com.
My Bumble account, maybe. Get on Bumble.
She's on Bumble.
Right swipe.
Well, Mr. Avery, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, theaveragemo.com. It's where you can find all the clips or something like that.
Something like that. Are you trying to mock me?
I was trying.
Okay, well, Pony, thank you again so much for doing the show.
Tweet.
My name is Maurice. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me. On Instagram, I'm The Average Mo. I have a brand new clips for sale store. It's Average Mo POV, where you can see, you know, sexy dirty girls doing dirty things with my penis. And hopefully you buy something so I can make some money so that I can go out and do more of that. And you can find everything in the Average Mo universe on theaveragemo.com. Thanks for listening.